All right, so my name is Alex Chang, and I'm here for a review session for the second exam for Computer Science 1. So let's start off with going over some terms for the multimedia lecture that we went over. So basically, these are the terms that we went over in class. These are the extensions. And I've grouped them into three groups. So what kind of files are these? Yeah, these are the audio files. So they can be in waveform, WMA for Windows Media Audio, MP3, which is the more popular form of extension, music extension these days. AAC is for, it's a better form of MP3. You can think of it that way. MIDI is very simple tones. Sometimes you use it for cell phones. AUP for Audacity files, and RA for real audio. These you don't really have to know what they are for, but just good to keep in mind, and especially know that these are for audio. One thing about, let's see, so these waveforms, they are, let's see, so on a CD has, you can store about 700 megabytes into a CD. And a CD usually takes up around, you can store about 10 songs in there. So that makes it about 70 megabytes per song, which is a lot of space. So if you can somehow compress that a little bit, which is the MP3 form of it, an MP3 song usually takes up around maybe 3 to 5 megabytes. Which is a lot, saves a lot of space. So MP3 is, you can think of it as a compressed form of audio. And when you're compressing something into MP3, you do lose some quality, audio quality to it, but human ears aren't that good at discerning these very small sound qualities. So that's why MP3 is, arguably a better form to store musics. This middle column here are the video files. So you have WMV, MOV, AVI, MPEG, MPEG-4, FLV, SWF, and RM. These are what people call the flash files. Let's see. So flash is the video files that you would see on, for example, YouTube. And flash files are, they're pretty good because they are they're vector graphic, which means that when you for example, expand your screen, you won't get those pixelated images, or you'll be less likely to get those pixelated images, which is better than the other forms. Let's see. Okay, so and then this last column here are the graphics extension. You have the GIF, JPEG, PNG, BMP, TIFF, and PSD. PSD is for Photoshop, and then so BMP is an image that is pixel by pixel. You can think of it that way. So bitmap images takes up a lot of space. Let's see, so you guys will probably have to need to know which one, which extensions are lossy, which ones are lossless. And this is just basically memorization. So GIF files are, they're lossless, and you compress them row by row. So for example, if you have an image, let's say this is an image, and let's say each of these boxes, it's a pixel. If you have, let's say if all of these are of the same color, these are of the same color, and let's see, these are of the same color, then this would be a good image to store in GIF file to save up space, because they are, the pixels are sold, are stored row by row. Whereas if you have, if you flip this image 90 degrees and get an image that's, in this form, this image will take up more space compared to this one, even though they had the same size. Let's say they had the same size. This image will take up more space stored in a GIF file because the file would recognize, let's say this is yellow, say this is red. Oh, let's say this is red, let's say this is green, let's say this is blue. For an image like this, the GIF file will store some red, some pixels, X number of pixels of red, X number of pixels of green, X number of pixels of blue, red, green, blue, red, green, blue, red, green, blue, et cetera. Whereas in this one, it would just store red all the way, green all the way, and blue all the way. Let's see. So GIF files also has fewer colors. It has 2 to the 8 number of colors, which is 256 colors. And compare that to a JPEG file, you can put in more colors. You can have up to 2 to the 24th power. So that's way more than you can store in a GIF file. But a JPEG file is lossy, but it's usually when you have photographs, a lot of photographs are stored in JPEGs. PNG files they're lossless. So what lossless means is if you have a big image and you want to resize it to a small one and then to a big one, you won't get the pixelated image as much. And then BMP bitmap files, it's lossy, again. And if it's stored, again, pixel by pixel, so it takes up a lot of space. TIFF files are for graphic design, and they can be lossy or lossless. Okay. Let's see. So I think that's basically it for the multimedia part. Let me quickly go into the internet and security part. So this is an example of a website. This HTTP tells you it's going to be a URL or a website. Sometimes you would see HTTPS. What does that S stand for? Yeah, exactly. So if you have an S, that means this site is encrypted, or this web page is encrypted, which means the data transferring between your computer to the server is safer. And sometimes you will see this when you are, when you're trying to log into a website, say into your web account or into your bank account, you often see HTTPS. Just to make that information more secure and more safe. Sometimes after you log in, you would see back to HTTP again instead of HTTPS. Why do you think that might be the case?
I was told, it could be a cost for encrypting, for that, to keep encrypting your time on that site. It mm-hmm. could be costly.
Exactly. So imagine you have, So imagine you have a message that you want to pass from me to a friend over there, and we both know a secret code to decode this message. Let's say if I add the letter S in front of every word, or if I add the letter S in between every other letter. So let's say if I want to pass over the phrase apple, and our secret encryption is I would add an S after every letter. So I would pass this message to my friend instead of apple. So to the other person, to my friend, it will take him arguably longer to decipher what this code is, what this message is, versus seeing the word exactly the way it is. So in the same case where when you have HTTPS, when you're secured, to be able to decode encrypted message from this to this takes time or takes CPU cycles. And sometimes these time might be valuable to the user and both to the website. When that is the case, the webmaster or the people designing the web page might decide to just use HTTP instead, just to make things run faster. But sometimes when you are on, say for your bank account, they would probably stick with HTTPS just to make sure that your information is always safe. And they're fine with losing a little bit of time, but not to make your bank account's information not safe. When you're logged into a site, let's say you're logged into your Facebook or your Gmail account, sometimes when you leave the website and you come back again, the website seems to remember who you are. And this remembering thing is because of something called a cookie. So this cookie is just basically a very, you can think of it as a file that contains simple information that the website knows who you are. It's a way to identify the person. And then SQL, something I guess slightly not related. SQL is a database online to store some kind of data. So if you have a website that allows people to register for their own account, you might use SQL to store the user's username and password. And then this table will be stored somewhere. And as the user comes onto the website, the website will go to this SQL table and retrieve data when, say, the person tries to log into the web page. And one way to attack a website is something called SQL injection, which is instead of username, password, instead of actually putting in a real username or a real password, a person who wants to inject a tag to this website might put in something like a semicolon, delete from, let's say, user, something like that, where instead of trying to guess what a possible username and password is, this person is using a SQL command delete from. And by doing this, if the website is not secure, if the person designing the website didn't watch out for these semicolons or delete from these phrases or these semicolons, then this delete from users, this is the name of the table. And if this command goes through successfully, all the SQL data that's stored inside the website will be gone. So that's one of the many ways to inject attack. Other ways to inject attacks are, a virus. Virus is just a malicious software that can do some kind of damage to your personal computer, for example. And worms are pretty much the same thing, but they're self-propagating. So a worm can go from one place to another by itself, whereas a virus usually requires you to open a specific file or requires you to reach to do something for the virus to attack you. Spyware, by its name, spyware. Let me write those terms down. So, virus, worms, spyware. Spyware means it's something like a virus or a worm, but it spies on you. So, for example, a spyware might be checking on what kind of keystrokes are you hitting onto your keyboard, or it might be monitoring your activities on your computer, or it might be looking at your screen from a far distance to see what kind of activities are you doing. So those are spywares. And phishing attack. Phishing means like a fraud or some kind of tricks that, for example, a web page is trying trying to obtain your password, your user information, or trying to do something, trying to take your money, trying to do something bad, that's phishing attack. An example that we did in, that David showed in class was the website, let's see, www.bank, what is it, the Bank of the West? I think it was Bank of the West. But instead of West, it's double V instead of a W. And if the user sees this link and click on it, which on the screen might, the double V might just look like a U, W, the user might be led to a different website from Bank of the West. And then Bank of the West might have the same layout just so that the user might think, oh, it's the actual website, and then the user will type in the username and password, thus giving away information to the wrong person. Okay, so next thing is data security. Let's see, so let's say you have a file in your computer that you want to delete. What's the problem with clicking delete and then clicking delete, moving into the recycling bin, and then click clear or clean your recycling bin? What's the problem with that?
The file's still on your hard drive.
Yes. So imagine a hard drive. Let's say this is your file that you store in your hard drive. Before you delete it, you have an address that's remembering where this file is stored inside your hard drive. Once you click delete, all you're doing is only erasing this arrow and erasing this address. But this file is still staying inside your hardware. There are several ways to delete this. There's one way that you can do is to, you can overwrite everything with zeros. You can try to write other files into it. You can randomly flip zeros and ones inside your hard drive. These are a couple ways that you can do it. But the more times you try to overwrite your files or to clean them, the more secure these files will not be able to recover. But the only 100% safe way to delete these files forever is to actually physically destroy the hard drive. Okay, so next thing, let's talk about HTML. Question, XHTML is a programming language. Is that true or false?
False.
That's false. XHTML, HTML, XML, these are marked up languages. And compare those to, for example, C, C++, Java, Perl, PHP, Python. These are programming languages. So is Scratch. Because with these you can write a program that can be run. And CSS is just a style sheet. It's not really a programming language. You can call it a style language. So let's say if you have something that looks like img src equals mypage.com/image.jpg with equals 400. Close the image. Let's say if you have something like that inside your HTML. What is the name of the tag.
Image.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So this thing is the name, and the greater than less than sign, that's the tag. So that's the name. What are the attributes?
Is it source and web?
Yeah, exactly. So this one and this one, these are the attributes. And what attribute is just characteristics of this tag. And in this case, this URL here and the width of the image will be the values. So basically, you're creating this tag that is about the image, and then you want to give it characteristics. So you want to specify what kind of image it is by giving it an URL to show where the image is from. You also wanted to tell the width of the image, so you don't want the image to be too big or too small. And then for each one of them, you want to give them values, basically. Let's see. Okay, and then briefly talking about hex colors. So if you have... let's see. So font, which is another tag, color equals something. Whatever you put in here will be the color of the words that you're going to type later on. Inside this blank, you can put in some more general colors, like, for example, red, black, blue, etc. But if you want to create something that is, say you want to create a, you want to put in a light blue color, or a dark purple, for example, then you use these hexadecimal numbers. And hexadecimal numbers, you would start off with a pound sign, and then there will be six spots that you're going to fill up. The first two are R for red. The next two are G for green, and then the last two are B for blue. So for example, a color that is FF0000 means, and again, hex numbers go from 0 to F, 0 to 9, and then A, B, C, D, E, F. So F is just like 9 in decimals. So this means you have a lot of red, you don't have any green, and you don't have any blue. So this color corresponds to pure red. Yeah, F is 15 in hexadecimal, or you can think of it, the highest number in decimal is 9. Okay. And then I guess I'll spend some time talking about programming. Is this clear to everyone? Do you guys have any questions? This one?
Yeah, the hex decimal.
So this is just a number. Mm-hmm. And this number you can put in how much you want for each color. So if I put in a number that is, let's say 3300. 6, 6. If I put in this value inside, that means I want 3, 3 in hex amount of red. I don't want any green, and I want 6, 6 amount of blue inside this color. So this color will have, I guess you can think of having a palette, and then you want to take 3, 3 drops of red. You put it into this mixer. You don't take any green, and you take 6, 6 drops of blue. So you end up getting a dark bluish purple color from this because you have two blues per green that you per red color that you get.
They also explained in class if it was all Fs, it would be white, and if it was all zeros, it would be black. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they may throw something like that.
Yeah. So.
So the first two. It's a very good point. For reds, will those letters line up in the beginning? Or they show them anywhere.
Could be anywhere.
It could be anywhere. So what are
it could be. Could go from 0, 0 to FF.
Yeah.
The range for each color.
So. Again, if the color is 0, 0, it's 0 for all red, green, and blue, you would not get white, but you would get black instead. So that's black. And then this, which means a lot of red, a lot of green, a lot of blue, this corresponds to being white. Any other questions? Okay, so this here is an example of a program. So a program has algorithms. An algorithm is just basically a step-by-step instruction. And this program is something that is pretty much readable by a human. It may look a little bit cryptic to you, but it's, you know, you can see there's something you can read. This word include, you're including something. And there's something called int main that you might not be sure what's going on. You see an if here, so you might be comparing something. And then you might want to print something, and maybe something about yes. So this is a programming language in C. When you write this program into a file, you can compile it. And then this will turn into machine languages, which is just a series of zeros and ones that are not really readily readable by a human. So let me quickly go over what this program does. So inside a program, you can have three things. You can have a statement. You can have Boolean, which means comparison. You can have conditional or conditions. I think those are the only three. Okay, yeah. Oh, and also a loop. So you can have these four things. What a statement is, it's just an instruction of doing something right away. A Boolean comparison involves maybe it gives you a true or false answer. So it can be if I say if I am wearing a black vest, then I will walk 3 steps in this direction. What I just said, if I'm wearing black vest, this is a conditional statement. It's saying, check if I'm wearing a black vest. In this case, yes, I am. So I will do the statement that's following it, which is walk in that direction 3 steps, 1, 2, 3. So in this example, this, if x is less than 5, will be the Boolean. I'll write B for Boolean. Let's see, am I missing? The if is a condition. And this x less than 5 is the Boolean, which gives you a true or false. And this if is a comparison. And this line here, and this line here, these are statements. So what this program does is, the first 3 lines are beyond the scope of this course. But just take it for granted that you need something, you need to include a library, and you want int main to in Scratch, imagine Intmain as the green flag that you have on top, which tells you where to start inside this program. So you would first reach this line that says int, which stands for integer. And this basically is you're creating a variable called x, and you're assigning x for the value 0. So you can think of it as having a box for storage. You're calling this box x, and you're storing the number 0 inside. And then here you're comparing with the if statement to see if x is less than 5. In this case, yes, it is. From this Boolean, x less than 5. In this case, yes. So you would go ahead and do this, which is a printf statement. So that means printing something on the screen. You're printing the word yes. And that reaches the end of the program. Let's say if x is 6. In this case, x is not less than 5. So you would not do whatever is going on in here. If there is something following the if that says else print f no, in this case, x is not less than 5, so you would not do anything that's going on here. You would look for the else. So one way you can think of it as you're approaching a fork on a road. And this part is x is greater than 5. You would do something. And this part is x is not. I'll write the word else. Or otherwise. So you would see if x is less than 5. If it is, you would do this, and then you would not go back here. Otherwise, you would take the second route and do something that's going on there. Okay. Do you guys have any questions with this?
So the last else thing, is that a condition?
Yes. So this else condition goes with this if. These are together. It's one set. This might make more sense once you start working on your Scratch problem set. These Lego pieces are pre-made for you. So you will see there will be one of the pieces that says, if you see a box here, you see something like this, where you, inside this box, you can put in something like x less than 5, or something more, x less than 5, or you can put 3 less than 5, which is obviously true. And then another block would be, if something, do something, and then else. Like that. So the difference between these two is inside here, if this is true, then you go ahead and do this. If this is false, then you would just not do anything. Whereas in this case, if this is true, then you would do whatever is in here. If this is false, then you would do whatever is in here. And of course, this can go on more if this can be an else if, and then this over here can be, let me just make it simpler, can be like that. The point is, it doesn't have to be one or the other. The fork can be going in 3, 4, 5, even more. The different directions. Any questions? Okay. Let's see. Okay, so why don't we look at some examples from past exams? So the first question I talked about before, bankofthevest.com is a phishing attack. So it's not a virus, it's not a worm, and it's not a spyware because it's not spying on anything. True or false? Cookies enable websites to remember information about past visitors.
True.
Yep, that's true. This one, I think it could be from last exam. WEP is more secure than WPA.
False.
That's false. Three podcasts can include MP3 and QuickTime movies. That's true.
Is it?
Yeah. And then number four, a 5-megapixel camera can take digital photos with roughly 5 million pixels.
Sounds true to me.
Yeah, it is true. So remember, mega is about 10 to the 6th power, which is about 1 million. So 5 megapixel means 5 million pixel, roughly million. So that's number four is true. Number five, when you empty a PC's recycle bin, Windows not only deletes a file therein, it overwrites them with zeros.
False.
False. It only forgets where it's stored inside your hardware. And number six, when clicked, this thing, ahref, equals http://mailinrogue.com, close quote, PayPal, and then close the tag for A. And that leads you to the PayPal website.
False.
Which website does it? Oh, I guess it's quite obvious. It leads you to the website that's listed here. So sometimes people might use this as a phishing attack. So they might show, for example, here, they might do www.paypal.com. And so this on your website, you would, when you look at it, you would see www.paypal.com, but the link is actually linking to something else. Okay, so this is a question on the exam in 2006. So take a look at it and see what kind of errors there are over here. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 errors. So when you see one, just go ahead and shout it out.
I see the body does not have a closed tag.
Yep. So remember that whenever you have an open tag here, body, you would need to have a closed tag. So closed body. So another question is, let's say, so this one looks like there's two spaces here in after title. And just separate them. So there are two spaces here after before the body tag. What if I put in a lot of spaces? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, so remember that the spaces don't really matter. It's just an aesthetics for the user to see. What's that?
The one with the,
yep. Well, so remember that each of the BR break tag means skip a line. So having two means skip two lines.
Oh, okay.
But remember one thing about these tags is every time you open it, you have to make sure that you close it. So one way you can do it is to have close BR like that. But this looks kind of long, so you can just, another way to do it is BR space slash. And that will have the same result. Okay, so that's two. So there's the BR tag, there's the body closing.
Do you need spaces between the slashes and the close tag? You have the H1, here's your host, is there a slash space, or does that matter?
Right here?
Yes.
When the tag is just a pure closing tag,
yeah,
you don't need a space.
Okay.
But in this case where you have a BR, when you're opening and closing at the same time, you would need a space before the closing, before the slash.
Yeah.
Okay, another one is that, the bottom is the body tag, and then on top should be the head tag. So this one is actually, the head comes outside the title. So these two should be swapped. And then since you're opening the head tag first, you want to close it after you close the title tag inside. Okay. Another thing is, what's wrong with
this?
What? Well, no. So this is okay, but in this case, only the frog is green, and Kermit the will be in default black. So remember these values for the attributes, they should be in quotes and not just the word green. You need the quotation marks around them. Let's see, another one is the tags, they have to be in lowercase. So in this case, center should be in lowercase center. And same for the closing tag, it should be lowercase center. Let's see, okay. Another one is this one. So you can assign background color for your body. In this case, it's a misspelling. It should be BG color instead of GB color. And also, this is not one of the default colors. It's not, so the default colors, they're like red, blue, green, white, black, among a couple others. So in this case, you would need the actual hex value. So something like, something like that, for example. And this one would be 8, 9 of red, 7B of green, and C2 of blue. So it would be, you have more blue than the other two colors because C is bigger than 8 and 7. And then you would have about the same amount of red and green, but slightly more red because it's 8. The in decimal, you can think of it as the 10th place is 8 instead of 7. So this there's more red in this color. I think that's everything. Yeah, so to summarize, the four errors are, the first one, the title and head should be swapped. The second one is the background color should be BG color. The third one is the color should be in hexadecimal. The fourth one is the break tag should be BR space slash instead of just BR. The fifth one is center should be in lowercase. And then the sixth one is the green. The color green has to be in quotes. Okay, any questions? Okay, in that case, let's move on to, before this one, let's try this one. So this one is, these are the Lego pieces that you would see inside inside Scratch. So the question is that, decide which one is Boolean, condition, loop, or statement. So what do you think the first one is? Play sound meow. And again, just to quickly review, yeah. Play sound meow is a statement because it's telling telling whatever this sprite is to go ahead and play a sound. There's no, it's not a condition because it's not testing to see if something is true or not. It's not a Boolean because it's not a true or false value. And it's not a loop because a loop would be something that does something on and on. What about this, forever? Exactly. Forever is like saying if, saying while 1 is less than 3, which is while 1 is less than 3, go ahead and do something forever. Go ahead and do something. And since 1 is always less than 3, you'd be doing that something continuously. So forever is a loop. What about this one? Something and something. It's close. It's a Boolean. Because in this case, you would be testing two things at once. So using using real life example, it would be today is Monday and today is sunny. That can be two things that you put in here. So if today is, I said today is Monday, if today's Monday, sorry, I said today's Monday and today is sunny. So if either one of them is not true, say if today is Tuesday, then this green tag will give you back a false. If today rains, then this green tag will also give you back false. So this is a Boolean. And the if-else piece would be? Take a guess. Would be what?
Condition.
Exactly. This would be a condition because it might do something, it might not do something. There's like a fork of the road. That's when you have a condition. And then the something is less than something. Yeah, this would be Boolean. So if you put in numbers, it would be you would get an answer of either true or false. Repeat 10. That means repeating something 10 times.
Is that a loop?
Yep, that's a loop. And again, loop is something that you do something. Loop is something that you would do repeatedly. So in this case, you would repeatedly do whatever the pieces you put in here 10 times. And the if statement?
Condition.
Yeah. It's just like if else, but it's only, there's only one direction to go. It's either you do it if it's true, or you don't do anything at all if it's false. And then the last one is say something. In this case, you're saying you're almost done.
Statement.
Mm-hmm. It's a statement because you're instructing this sprite to go ahead and do something. Okay, so something that is slightly in a less colorful, less pictorial form is this thing here. So this is an example of a pseudo program or a fake program. It's written in even more human language than a computer language is. So just go ahead and take a look at this. And imagine this is, so this is an algorithm. It's a list of instructions telling you what to do. So if this is, let's say this is a program that David uses to give out final grades at the end of the semester. So it's saying for each student, if the student averages greater than 60, then you would give it a D. If it's greater than 70, you give it a C. Greater than 80, a B. Greater than 90, an A. Otherwise, you would give the student an E, and then with the way that this thing is indented, it means that this for each student statement runs from line 1 all the way to line 11, and you can think of that as an entire block of things that goes on together. And then the next thing that goes on is line 12, submit a grade sheet. And this example and this question, by the way, is a little bit very slightly different from the one on in 2006, just to so that I can point some things out. So let's see. So why do you think that this program never awards a student A, B, or C, but it gives most students a D?
It looks like because anyone that gets over 60, it's just going to run the second line and third.
Mm-hmm.
And then just submit the grade sheet.
Yep. So if, let's say if a student has a 65 on exam, line 2 would say the student's average, which is 65, is greater than 60, which is true, then you would go ahead and do line 3, which is give the student a D. That's correct. But what if a student has a score of, let's say, 88, which should be a B? Line 2 would be if a student's average, which is 88, if the 88 is greater than 60, which is true, then you actually just go ahead and do what line 3 is. You would give the student a D. And since this is if-else condition, you would just go ahead and do 3 and ignore everything that says else. So imagine you just go down the path that says student's average is greater than 60, and you would ignore everything that, you would ignore all the paths. That being students' averages greater than 70, 80, and 90. And also this else, which is the otherwise condition. So how would you fix this program?
You have to set within ranges.
Okay. So one way is to say if students' average is greater than 60 and less than 70. And then here you would say greater than 70 and less than 80. Would you say less than 70? Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, what if a student gets a 70?
69.
Well, if it's 69, then you wouldn't. Then 69 would also not fall into any categories.
So, can you use an equal sign?
Yeah. So, the less, since on the keyboard there's no less than or equal sign in mathematics, computer scientists use this sign. Less equal to signify less than or equal to. So this means if the student, I guess a 70 usually is the lower bound for a C, right? So maybe if the student average is 60, or is between 60 and less than 70, so between 60 and 69, you would give the student a D. If the student average is greater than or equal to 70 and less than 80, then you would give the student a C. And then, should be this way. Greater than or equal to 80 and less than 90. And then this last one is, else if the student's average is greater than 90, this one you can just leave it. You give student an A, otherwise you would award student an E.
So just in that instance there?
What's that?
Would you have to put the equal? You have to put the equal in greater than 90.
Oh, yes.
Correct?
Exactly. Okay. So that fixes the problem. And then just as in review, let's see. So for this line, the first line here, for each student, would that be a Boolean condition loop statement, or it can be more than one item also. It's not a statement because in this case it's sort of a condition, but remember that you're repeating this process between lines 2 to 11 for X number of students. And you're doing these things over and over again with the same process. So this line 1 would be an example of a loop.
Okay.
Because you're repeating this thing for all the students. So this would be a loop. What about this line? If students' average is somewhere between 60 and 70. Okay, so the condition is the if part, right? Because the if tells you there's a fork at the road. But there's also something else.
Condition and a Boolean.
Yep. And the Boolean part is it's a part where it says average is the student's average between 60 and 70. That's the Boolean part. That gives you back a true or false. And then the if tells you whether to go down that road or another one. What about line 3? Award student a D. Yep, it's a statement because you're telling this program to give student a grade of D. Let's see, so 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, these are just the same for lines 2 and 3. This 10 is, this else is part of the if on line 2, so you can think of that as being together as one condition. And award student E would be, again, an example of statement. What about this last thing here, submit grade sheet?
It's gotta be a loop too.
Let's say from lines 1 to 11, you would create this form with all the students all the student's grade. And then this line, you just want to submit that form, okay. That one form. Yeah, so this form would be, line 12 would be a statement because you're just submitting this form, this graded sheet form to someone, to the registrar's office. So this thing here again would be a statement. So I guess on the exam, you would probably be more likely to see a program like this in this example, something where you would see the algorithm, you see a list of instructions in more English form rather than a more computer science-based form for the purpose of this test.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's my guess, yeah. Okay, do you guys have any questions? Okay, well, if any question comes up, feel free to email help@computerscience1.net, and the TFs and David and Dan will be ready to respond to the questions. If you guys feel there need to meet personally, you can email me in advance, and I can set up a time to meet with you guys on maybe Sunday night or Monday morning or Monday before the test to go over some questions that you guys have. Okay, so that's it for the review session, and good luck next week.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.